We begin the current daf, Mesas Misachim, daf Chaf. We begin two lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is, there was a statement that was mentioned on daf Yud Testament Aleph, which spoke about a machat, that later was elaborated in the Gemara to say there was a machat, there was a Tamei Mase, that was found in the flesh of the carbon, of the kachin. So we said that the hands of the kohen and the knife that touched it, they will be tahar. And the reason is because the azar is considered a rishus harabim, and the safek tumah rishus harabim will be considered tahar. However, we said the basal will be tameh, because that we see the machat actually definitely touched it. So therefore, that machat, this needle that's a tameh mace, that's an avatumah, because chal harei kecherev, we say that it has the same status, the knife, the metal object that touched the tameh mace has the same status, they will convey tumah to the carbon. But and then, which we are Gemara continues now, and it said v'habaser tameh. However, although the hands of the kohen and the knife that touches the animal will remain tar because of that doubt, however, the meat will become tameh, and that's okay. We understand that's because of the machat that's definitely touching the meat. However, the Gemara's question is, but habaser de'iskasher b'may, what is making the meat of the animal susceptible to tumah? That is, we know there's a difference between beverages and food items. And that is, beverages are more susceptible to tumah, and that's why there are certain chumras regarding mashkin, because they don't need any preparation to be able to acquire tumah. Whereas food items, including this piece of meat, has to be prepared with one of the seven liquids. And that is, when you put it on, kiyutan, when there's water that's going to get on the food item, then it's going to be susceptible to tumah touching. The question is, how did this ever become susceptible in the first place? What liquids came in contact with this carbon, with the meat, to say that now it's susceptible to the tumah of the machat that's inside its stomach? Rashi tells us truthfully, we could have asked this question on a pasuk, because there's a pasuk in Mikra that says, v'habosar sheyiga b'chol tumah, that if the flesh of the meat of the carbon, of the kachin that will touch anything that's tumah. Now, how did that carbon become Huchsha, what prepared it to become tummy? And that Rashi says that wouldn't be difficult in the pasuk, because that you could say that the meat of the pasuk is definitely, it could become prepared with liquids to be makabel tumah in many different ways, because the tumah, the meat of a carbon shlam, which is eaten in the whole entire city for many people, and there they wash it and they cook it, so there's many different liquids that it's going to come in contact with that can make this basar kaidish to be able to makabel tumah. However, the reason why we're asking on this gemara is because this animal, the needle was found in the meat, in the azara, in the place where it was slaughtered. Now, in that time, there was no cooking done with it yet. There was no washing it off yet. So what was there in the azara that was a liquid that came in contact with it that was able to be makshir this meat to be makabel tumah? And that the Gemara goes and asks, Inei medeskasher b'dam, if you say, well, there's one liquid that we know for sure was there when you slaughtered it. So this blood running all over the place, that blood that touched the meat is what's makshir. It's one of the seven liquids. Is makshir to be makabel tumah? By that, the Gemara says, although one of the seven liquids is dam, but how do we know that the dam of kachim, which is what this blood is from the animal itself, that it does not prepare food items to be susceptible to tumah? Shlem, like it says, the pasuk in the varm. It says, lo yisechlenu, you should not consume blood. Rather, ala arz tishbechen the kamayim, you should pour the water, spill it out on the floor like water. Now, the drasha is, dam shenishbach kamayim machshir. Where do we compare blood to water to say that just like water is machshir, so to blood, that is, when you have blood that's spilled like water, that will make it into the mashka that will then go ahead and prepare food items to mekabel tumah. The she'ein nishpach kamayim ein machshir, but the type of blood that's not spilled like water, which is the blood of kachim, because there you have to have a kli, a vessel to mekabel that blood. You don't let it just spill out. You have to use it to do the zrika. That type of blood will not be machshir. That's not considered a mashka, and therefore that cannot be a viable option to say that that's how the meat of the kachim became hukshir mekabel tumah, because that liquid is not considered a liquid to be machshir an a food item to mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, "Ve'il diskasha b'mashka basement b'chai." So what are you going to say? That it became prepared through the beverage, the liquids of the slaughterhouse, which is when they would wash off the animal over there, whatever they're washing it over, the water. So that should prepare to mekabel tumah. On that, the Gemara says, "V'amar b'yisir reb chanina mashki basement b'chayim," that the liquids of the slaughterhouse, loydayin chein dachan. Not only do we say that those liquids are going to be tahar, we don't have any gzeris that are applying to mashkin to apply to these liquids, they're going to be tahar, but even more than that, el she'in machshir, but they're so not even like a mashkin that they won't even be machshir food items that come in contact with these liquids to be able to make them susceptible to mekabel tumah. So again, so these liquids that you were using to wash off, which is in the basement b'chayy in the slaughterhouse, are not able to be machshir because that's the statement clearly of Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina. So that can't either be an option. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela de'iskasha b'chibas hakodesh." So what we have to say is that it's susceptible to tumah just by virtue of what's called the endearment, the chiba of kodesh, of things that have sanctity of hekdesh, and that is that chiba alone, that high level of kedusha that there prepares the food item to be mekabel tumah even without coming in contact with any liquid to be machshirit. As the Gemara says in the second parak in Shechitas Chulin, that the chibas hakodesh, the endearment of hekdesh items, makes it into a food item status to be mekabel tumah. And therefore, over here, similarly, the same idea is that we're saying even though it was not in contact with one of the seven liquids, it will still be prepared to mekabel tumah, just like we find that chibas kodesh makes it into, we find different items, let's say coals, which are generally not considered food items. We give it a status of food items based on chibas kodesh. Same thing over here, we're going to give it a status of food already to be prepared to be mekabel tumah, even without coming in contact with one of the seven liquids. And that the Gemara says, wait, Eimer demahani lechibas hakodesh. I understand there is this concept of chibas hakodesh, of the endearment of hekdesh, which it gives certain status even without the natural means. So I understand you can do that, but that would be lav sule gufe. That would say to invalidate the item itself, that yes, this will have a status of an oichel, and therefore we will invalidate it if it becomes tumah. But the question is, lemimne beirishin v'sheni, would you say that this item, let's say the meat that we're talking about, where the needle is touching it, so we're asking, with what did it become hochshir lekabel tumah, susceptible to tumah? So by virtue of it being kodesh, there's a certain chiba, certain high levels that we give it, that it's already prepared. So I understand that could invalidate the meat, but for it to start counting the levels of transmission of tumah to say that, oh, this can make a rishon and a sheni, in other words, to be metame other things, because the terminology that we use here is basar tumah, we said. Now, tumah, as we mentioned many times before, there's a difference in the terminology of tumah and pasul. Tumah means that not only do you become invalid, which is what pasul would mean, but tumah means you can even transmit tumah to other things. And therefore, if we're calling this basar tumah, which means say that based on chibas hakodesh, you're saying that not only will it become invalid, even though it did not come through the normal channels of being hokshal kabel tumah by coming in one of the seven liquids, but that it could even transmit other things, tumah, nami, do you want to say that also? If that's the case, because obviously you're saying that how does it become prepared? It's through chibas hakodesh, and yet we see clearly that we're calling it tumah, that it could even transmit tumah to other things. But if that's the case, tifshis, then we should resolve. Again, from the fact that we're calling it tumah, that now it's mashma, that it could even be tumah other things, and how you explained it is based on the virtue of chibas hakodesh, then resolve the bay Rish Lakish, then resolve the question that Rish Lakish had, which was brought over there in Shechitas Chulin, which he had asked, regarding the dry lumps of the mincha of the flour offering. In other words, a place where the oil didn't get to. So it's a dry lump. His question was, do we say, would we count over there the levels of Rishon HaSheni? Not because there it's not the complete mincha, because it does not have the oil over there. So the question was, he wanted to know, do we say that if based on Chibas HaKodesh, do we say that it's going to transmit tumah to other things, that it is prepared and it is hochshir lekabel tumah, and that it's also going to go ahead and pass on to the other levels? Now that was his question. Now based on what we just said, that chibas hakodesh is the reason why this basar is tumah, because we're right, it didn't come into contact with any liquids. So then, but you're calling it basar tumah, and basar tumah means to say that it could transmit further. So why does Rish Lakish have a question when we have clearly this statement that says that chibas hakodesh can create not only that the item becomes invalid, but even that, as the terminology says, moinim by rishon b'sheni, that you do count levels. It could transmit tumah to others to make a rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, and so on. But well, that's Rish Lakish's question. Why does he have a question? He should have resolved it. Obviously, that this statement of what we're talking about basar tumah cannot have been through chibas hakodesh, because again, then the Rosh Hashanah would have resolved it from here. So the Gemara concludes that you're right, that Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel, that the hechsher did happen through a liquid, as it normally does, and it's not based on chibas hakodesh, because that it seems to be a question that Rish Lakish already had posed, that we're not clear about that, if chibas hakodesh would create that we could go ahead and transmit tumah to other things from that. Rather, we're talking about this case that we said, the basar that you found inside of this animal, and a needle in the intestines of the animal, that this meat becomes tameh. We're talking about a cow of a carbon of shlum. And that is, as Rashi tells us, the reason why we picked a carbon shlamim is because the carbon shlamim's hide and its flesh goes to the owners. So he's very particular then to make sure that it's going to be of high quality, the hide and the meat. So therefore, the havir b'nahar, that on the way into the Beis HaMikdash, on this trip, he passes it through the river right before it's going to be slaughtered so that it could drink. And that way it'll be easier to skin the hide that you can have it in the highest quality it can be, as the Gemara says, the end Masechtas Beya. And v'shachta, so then this was right before he slaughtered it, and v'adayin mashker tefechla, and when it was being slaughtered, there was still the liquid dripping down because from when the animal passed through the river, and therefore it would not be possible that some of the liquid won't be dripping down on the meat during the time that it's being skinned, and therefore, what was it that's going to be machshir this basar? It's the water that it passed through from the river. That water is going to be dripping down on the meat when it's being skinned, and that answers the question how it's going to be hukshir. It's from that, and that's why the basar is going to be tum. So now, regarding that same statement on Daf Yud Tesem Alav, so then they continued and said, Nimtzis beperish. If this needle was found in the waste matter, then hakol tar, then everything is tar. There's only a problem if it was found in the meat. If it's found there in the waste, then everything is tar. On that the Gemara asks, but v'nehad perish, let the waste revert back. In other words, as Rashi explains, what the Gemara is assuming now is that the waste matter should have a status of mashka, of beverage on it, because we just explained in the Gemara just now that we just gave the animal to drink. So it's very liquidy, and therefore it should be considered like a liquid v'nitmaile basar. And that should go ahead and transmit tuma to the basar, because this is a liquid, and liquid goes ahead, and it is susceptible to create a tuma because of what mashkin are makabel tuma. And therefore, then now that this liquid that's there from the needle should go ahead and transmit the tuma to the meat. So why is it that everything's tahar if it's found in the waste matter? That on Rav Ada Bahava, the Gemara gives two truths. First, the Gemara says, is beperish ava. We're talking about that it was thick waste matter, and therefore that's definitely not going to be considered a mashka, a liquid, and therefore it will not be makabel tuma from the needle to then go ahead and transmit the tuma further to the animal meat. And the second testing more brings Rav Ashi Amar, afilatema beperish raka. You could even say it's talking about it is liquidy, that waste matter. So the question is, so that's a liquid and then it becomes tume and should go ahead and pass on the tume to the meat of the animal. We're talking about putrid wastewater over here. It's spoiled, and therefore that won't be valid as, quote, a mashka, because when it gets already in the spoiled state, it's not susceptible to tumma because we don't view it as a mashka anymore. We view it as something that's totally ruined. So now the Gemara continues, says, Tane Tane Kamed Rav Sheshes. Now the Gemara brings a braisa that goes through the order, the hierarchy of possibility of tumma in the case of a sheretz. So the braisa said, Sheretz mitamei samashkin. The first level that happens is that the sheretz, this vermin, the creepy crawly little type of creatures, are mitamei of the liquids. And that is, as the Gemara had brought earlier, that's a kal v'chomer from a kli, because we find in the pasuk, which is where kli cheres is makabel tuma, the pasuk says that if the tuma is going to be in the ear space of the kli cheres, that's a sheretz. So if a sheretz can be matami a kli, most definitely it can be matami a mashkin, because a kli is matami a mashkin. So therefore, the sheretz can be matami the kli, which is even stringent, can definitely be matami the mashkin. Now, that's the first step. Now, umashkin, those liquids that we just said became tame from the sheretz, mitamin es hakli, they could then go ahead and be mitame a kli. As the Gemara had learned from the pasuk that says, b'chol kli yitma, that in every kli will be tame, this Tana, who we're quoting on this braisa, holds that this yitma will go on even a kli, that is, this liquid that we said is yitma, it will be as Rabbi Yehuda had made that drasha in the braisa before, as we had mentioned in the previous stop, that he reverted, he retracted from that statement, and he says that no, there's no tuma d'irais, it's only midraban regan and kelim. But before he retracted that opinion that is mentioned on that braisa, he said that it's not only this, that the tuma of beverages is d'irais, it would be even d'irais to mitami other kelim, because he learns that it says from the mashka will become yitma. We learn that it also means yitame, and not only that it's yitame for food items, but even yitame to kelim, because there in that pasuk it references to kli, as it says b'chol kli yitma, that the yitame is going back even on a kli. So that's the second step. So again, the sheretz was mitame the mashke, and then this mashke can then go ahead and be mitame a kli. Now, and then after this v'kli, then this kli that became tummy from the mashka, which became tummy from the sheretz, mitame es oichlin. The third step is that could go ahead and be mitame food items, and that is as we had taught that also, that kelim are mitame food items. That's because it says in the pasuk, kol asher b'toche yitmo, whatever's inside of this kli cheres that got tummy from the ear space when the sheretz is hanging inside of it, that will go ahead and be mitame mikol ha'eichel from all food items, which is mashma that food items become tummy from the ear space of a kli cheres. Then v'ha'eichlin mitame nesamashkin. And then these, the fourth step is that these food items that became tummy from the kli, which became tummy from the mashkin, which became tummy from the sheretz, there go ahead and the mitame nesamashkin, they can make tummy to the beverages. And that's as the Gemara had brought from Rabbi Kiva, that he says, it says in the pasuk yitma, they become tummy by the first half of the pasuk by food items, which did he darshans to say yitame, because it could have said tummy, it says yitma, to say that the same word could be read yitame, that it will go ahead and be mitame other things, and that can't be food items, because nothing's mitame the same thing as it is. Rather, it must be that the food items then goes ahead and mitame the mashkin. So Braitha concludes, so we find that there's three different levels of tumah that can be created from the sheretz, which the Gemara right away asks, these are four. Now there's two components to this question. First of all, we know that we can only create a shlishi, but there is no revi mentioned in the pasuk whatsoever. Because when it says in the pasuk that a food item that became tummy from the kli, that can then go ahead, based on yitma yitame, that we said it can go ahead and transmit tummy to other things, specifically a liquid, that's not talking about a kli that became tummy from a mashka. Rather, that pasuk is talking about a kli that became tummy from a sheretz. Now, therefore, we don't find anywhere a fourth level, and yet we're saying when the Tana itself is mentioning four levels, but then it ends by saying there's only three. So basically, there's like two problems. One problem is the contradiction within the Braisa, that on the one hand, it's counting four levels. If you count, as we did, from the sheretz going downward, it said four levels it's creating. And whereas it ends off by saying that there's only three, and moreover is that how could we even say there's four? The pasuk that is the source for this only allows for three levels at most, and which is Reb Kiva's opinion. Some hold that by chulin you can't even create a shlishi, but definitely not a four levels. So there the Gemara says, you're right, goiz mashkin deresha. Cut out the first mention from the four levels. Cut out one of the levels, the first liquids that were mentioned, and say as follows: say that the sheretz is metami a vessel, not the liquids as it was mentioned, and then the vessel is metami the food items, and the food items is metami the liquid. And as Rashi tells us, that's actually the order that it says in the pasuk. It says it in that order. Now it's, and this is obviously like Rabbi Kiva, as we just mentioned before, that he makes that drasha of yitma yitame, that a sheni could be a shlishi, and this would actually be how it's learned from the pasuk, and that's what this price would be going like. But then the Gemara asks, what other rabbi? Maybe to say exactly the opposite. Goiz mashkin the sefer. Why did you say that cut off the last mashkin? There's two times that liquids were mentioned in the original way it was presented, this brisa. First one was that it was saying from the sheretz is touching the mashka, which is then touching the kli, which is touching the yaycha, which is then touching mashka. So the mashka in the beginning and the end. So that we're saying that cut out the first mashka. So the Gemara say cut out the last mashka and say that the sheretz was metame the mashka, and the mashka was metame the kli, as we said, because it says b'chol kli yitma, as Rabbi Yehuda originally had learned. Then kli will metame yaycha. That's because he makes the drasha of yitma that it says from yitma, it says over the yitma from the kli. So that's in other words, the literal translation of the pasuk is mashma that a kli can metame yoichel, because it says that yitma, and then it says regarding a cholam, and then the mashkin at the end, that one don't say, because as we said, there doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it could create a revi. Now, although definitely, as Rashi tells us, an oichel could be metame a mashka, but the reason why we wouldn't say over here is because this oichel is a shlishi. Although the pasuk tells us yitma yitame that oichel ki mitame amashke, that's when it's a sheni, and then it can create a shlishi. But here we're in this case scenario of this brisa where it's a shlishi, cannot create a revi. So the Gemara is saying, why say cut out the first one, cut out the last one? And then the Gemara says, no, we'd rather cut out the first one, not the last one, because lo ashkechan tana, because we don't really find any tana de amma mashkin mitame kli. The way it's set up, according to the if it was mashka, the first mashka would stay in, you'd have to have, as we said, that the sheretz metame the mashka, and then the mashka is metame kli. Now, we don't really find any tana that says that a mashka, a beverage, can metame kli. El Rebbe Yehuda, only Rebbe Yehuda, v'hadarbe, and he himself retracted that opinion. And if you're going to make this drasha, to leave in the mashkin of the resha, so who are you going to be saying like? There is no tana that ultimately says that, and therefore, would rather, since we have to cut out one of them anyway, because there is no revi, we'd rather cut out the first one. And the Gemara says, v'samanech, and the anamanik, to remember that you should not make a mistake in this order, which we said is this order of the sheretz, then with the kli, and then with the meichel, and then with the mashke. To remember this is nazyasa. It's to remember like a keg, and that is with those that would make the barley beer. That first they'd put the vessel, then they'd put the food, the barley inside, and then they'd put the water, the liquid. Therefore, that will remind us that this is the order of what I was saying for the seder of the tum of the sheretz. That first is being metame the kli, then it's metame the yechel, and then it's being metame the mashke. So now the Gemara continues in a related topic. Snan Hasim, we learned over there in Mishnah Masechtas Kalim. Sheretz shenimtza betana, regarding a vermin sheretz that was found in an oven. Now, it didn't actually touch the bread, but it's in the ear space of the oven. So the halacha, it says over there in that Mishnah, is hapasha b'teichi shnia, the bread that's inside the oven becomes a sheni l'tumah. And therefore, according to, let's say, the opinion of the Rabbanon, that they hold that a chulin can only go up to a sheni, this bread will not be able to metame other chulin because it cannot create a shlishi. What's the reason for this, that the bread is only a sheni? Because the reason is because the oven itself is a rishon, because the oven was mekabel the tumah from the sheretz, and then the bread is mekabel tumah from the oven, and that's why we're bringing in this mishnah, because it's similar to what we were discussing just before regarding what the pasuk, which is the source for that brayse we mentioned before, that the sheretz goes into the ear space of the klicheres, then the klicheres is metame the meichel, and then from yitmeitame we learned that that meichel is metame a mashke. Now, so regarding this mishnah, amalei of adbar avla rava. Why is this the case? That the bread, and essentially it's a question really on the pasuk, the way we're learning it, but this, the Braisa is establishing that halacha. The next lahaitan the command mali tumeduma. We should view the oven as if it's totally filled up with tumah. And that is because since we say that the ear space of the klicheres is what's creating it to be susceptible to the tumah, to get that transmission of the tumah from the sheretz, even though it didn't actually touch the wall of the oven. So obviously we view it as if it's filled up with tumah, because it didn't touch it yet, it's still becoming tummy. How is it becoming tummy? Obviously there's some type of like ear here that's being permeated with this tumah, and that's how the oven becomes tummy. So vitave high pasture shina. So then the bread should itself also be a rishon, as if it also touched the sheretz, because it's also in that ear space, and therefore that should get the same tumah. Why do we say that it becomes a sheni? So Amalei said to him, Loisol gadaitach, you cannot entertain this idea to say that the bread should be a rishon just like the oven becomes a rishon, because they're both in that area, in that internal area of the ear space of the oven. Because the Tanakh within the Braisa says, Yochel yu kalakim, you would think that all the vessels, which are called kli shetef, which are regarding wooden kalim, or let's say metal kalim, which are not like kli cheretz, if they're in the ear space of the kli cheretz, and the sheretz is in the outer ear that is inside the kli cheretz, which is outside of where these other smaller kalim are inside, you would think mitamen me'ave kli cheretz, you would think that they would become tame from the ear space of the kli cheretz, because it says in the pasuk, kol asher b'tocho yitmo, whatever is inside becomes tame. So you would think that these kalim become tame, which is essentially addressing the same question, but different, and that is whatever is inside gets the tumah. So these other kalim that are inside this larger klichas, let's say like an oven, should also become tummy. On that, the Braisa says, we continue on tamid beis, tamah loyma, that's what the pasuk in Vikar tells us, kol asher b'tocho yitmo. Whatever is inside the oven becomes tummy. But besamachli, the pasuk continues right after and says, mikol ha'oichel, from all food items. And that is, what the pasuk is saying is that this kol asher b'tocho, that I told you, that whatever is inside will become tummy, that I said in reference to food items. That is oichel mitamei me'ave klicheres. That food items become tummy from the ear space of the klicheres of the earthenware vessel. Ve'in kol hakelim mitamei me'ave klicheres. But yet other vessels do not become tummy from the ear space of the klicheres. And as Rashi explains, if you would say that you would view the outer area, and that is meaning the internal area of the larger klicheres, as if it was filled up with tumah, so then it would come out as if the tumah is touching the outside of what these are called, these klishetev, these metal or wooden kalim. Now, these klishetef, they are makabel tumah from the outside, which is in contrast to klicheres, which only becomes tumah from the inside, if it's touching the outside. So obviously, you hear from this that kol asher b'toche yitma, what is creating the transmission of the tumah from the internal area of the ear space of the klicheres? Must be it's the kli of the cheres that's being metami and transmitting the tumah further. And what the pasuk is teaching us is that food items and liquids, which are makabel tumah from a vlad ha-tumah, from a rishon, so they can get the tumah, as the pasuk tells us, because the sheretz is the av, the klicheres is the rishon, and then the food items, which are mikol ha'echel, that become tumah from being inside, because they could become a sheni. But a vessel, a vessel not. And that, as Rashi tells us, from this answer is where we learn that throughout Shas, that it's always mentioned that a Kli Rishon cannot be metameh a Kli. And similarly, that food items and beverages cannot be metameh a Kli, as the Gemara had learned earlier from a Kal Vachomer, that if the Kli that is metameh, the Eichel Mashkin, cannot be metameh a Kli, most definitely the Mashkin that are only a derivative from that Kli cannot go ahead and be metameh a Kli. So this, as Rashi tells us, is the source for that halacha, because we're finding that the pasuk is saying that only food items can be mekabel tumah. Now, why is that? Obviously, because it's not that the ear space is permeated with the tumah of the sherets. It's a different halacha. We view it as if now as if the kli cheres was mekabel tumah, although it's not permeated. Because again, if it was permeated, then the shetef should be mekabel tumah from their outside part. And the pasuk explicitly saying that's not what happens. And that is why the bread becomes a sheni, not a rishon, because it's not that there's being permeated over here. Rather, the kli cheres is mekabel tumah, and a kli cannot be mekabel tumah from a kli, as this is what the pasuk is excluding that, by saying that only the food items will become tumah, because they can become a sheni, but kelim and adam cannot become a sheni, and that is why the keli cannot be metame, the other kelim, and the food items and liquids cannot be metame from a kabel chaymer. If the kelim cannot be, then most definitely the food items and beverages cannot be metame. Now this concludes the sugya of Reb Chanina Sgan HaKahanim, which we had spoken about for the last 7 blot regarding halachas of Tumah Tahara, which is one of the major sources for these halachas. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion that was being spoken about before and from the Mishnah Daf Yadalad, which speaks about the halachas of Bir Chametz, of eliminating Chametz on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara will bring 3 different contradictions of the opinion of Reb Yeshua in this regard, regarding the halachas of Bir Chametz, specifically related to the halachas of Tumah. So Rav Chizda Rami Pischa Pischa Mishan, he posed the first contradiction from the halachas of Pesach, and he answers it regarding the contradiction in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. And that is, Mi Amir Rabbi Yeshua Shtein Ka'achas, did Rabbi Yeshua really say this, which he says in our Mishnah Daf Yudalit, that both of them, the chametz of Truma, that's Teluya, that we have doubt regarding, that it could be burned together with the chametz of Truma, that's Tameh, on Erev Pesach, on Yudal Nisan, that again, there's no problem about burning them together, although one is doubtful and one is definite truma that's Temeah, they can be burned together. But Verminu, we have a contradiction, it seems, and that is because ultimately what this Brisa will tell us is that Rabbi Yossi was saying, in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that how can you burn even Teluya with Temeah? And yet clearly in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that one could burn together truma Teluya with truma Temeah. And that is, the Brisa says as follows. Rabbi Yossi said in response to Reb Meir, this was their machloikis regarding, can you learn out from the different Tanoic opinions if you could burn chametz that is tahar with chametz that is tameh of truma on Erev Pesach. And that Rabbi Yossi tells Reb Meir, in ha-nidun, what we're discussing, again, which is regarding the case of burning chametz truma tahira with chametz truma tameya on Erev Pesach, it's not comparable. Daimelaraya, it's not comparable to the proof that you're trying to bring from the Tanoic statements, which is kashidra beseinu. Because when our teachers, when the Tamid Chacham said this testimony, which you're trying to bring a raya from, amaha idu, regarding what did they say testimony? I'll show you that what they said is not as great a chiddush as what you're trying to say. If you're coming from those who had said regarding meat that became tummy from avlad hatuma, again, which is a reference to Reb Chanina Sgan HaKahanim's halacha in that Mishnah, that they had no qualms, no problems about burning it when they would have to burn it with the meat that became tummy from an avatuma, which is increasing the levels of tumma. So you say, oh, we have no problem when you're going out to burn it, that to increase levels of tumma, but zet tumma bezet tumma. The problem is that, yes, over there, it's increasing levels of tumma, but even originally, this lower level was at least a shlish of the tumma, and now you're going to make it maybe a sheni, or a rishon even, but it's still going to be that it had the halacha status of tumma. We don't find what you're trying to say, that even if it's totally tahar, you're allowed to burn it together with tumeya. And imal Hashem and shenisal b'tful yom. And if you're trying to bring from Rabbi Kiva's halacha that he says regarding oil that became tamei only from a tful yom, shemad likin oisib b'ner shenit b'tmei meis, which is that higher chiddush that now they had no problems about lighting it in the lamp that became tamei from a tmei meis, which is taking up even a higher level into an av into a rishon. But zeh pasul v'zeh tamei, even though there that you see you could make a great increase in tumah. But again, this thing, this oil that was at least invalid, it was at least psul, it wasn't tame because it was truma, and the truma does not make a revi, so it was already a shlishi. So you're right, it wasn't tame, but at least psul. So then yes, and then you're burning it together with something that's tame, you're going to make it tame now. However, again, but we don't find what you're trying to say, that it could be totally tahar and you could burn it together, something that's tummy. And therefore he says, Afanu maidim b'tshuma shenitmes b'vlad hatuma. We also agree, don't think we don't agree, that regarding truma that became tummy from avlad hatuma, shesayfen eise im hatshuma shenitmes b'avatuma, we would agree to that, because that we find the Chacham do say that you could burn it together with something that was tummy from an avatuma. Aval heyich nisrif afila tloye matmeya. But how could you burn even something that's doubtful tummy with something that's definitely tummy? And the reason being is, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come and will tell us, this thing that you have a doubt regarding, it's really tahar. And then for sure there's a problem. You can't burn truma that's tahira. There's an isra of burning and making it tummy, so you wouldn't be able to burn it with truma tameya. So forget about what you're trying to say, that you're allowing to burn the chametz in Erev Pesach of truma tahira with truma tameya. That for sure not, because even tluya I wouldn't let, because maybe Eliyahu might say that we're doing an isra, because really it's going to be tahar. So therefore the question the Gemara is asking is, here you have clearly that Rabbi Yis is saying that for sure there's no way of saying that anyone would say, including Rabbi Shua, that you're allowed to go ahead and bring even Tluya with Temeya. Clearly in our Mishnah, it says that Rabbi Yeshua says one is allowed to go ahead and burn them together with Tluya and Temeya. So how could Rabbi Yis say that would be impossible? On that, the Gemara says, Mishani, that after he poses contradiction, Rav Chizkiya, he answered that, ha, the case of our Mishnah that's quoting Rabbi Shua as saying that you could burn Truma Tluya with Temeya was Rabbi Shimon Valib Rabbi Shua. That was Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Shua. Ha, the case of the Braisa was Rabbi Yosi Valib Rabbi Shua. That was Rabbi Yosi's version of Rabbi Shua, as it says over there in the Braisa, that Amri Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says, in Hanidin, you can't compare it, and therefore that was Rabbi Yosi's version. That's why it's not a contradiction, because they had this machlokes. What did Rabbi Yeshua hold regarding can you burn Tluya with Temeya? But later on, the Gemara will ask an obvious question, because how could you say our Mishnah was Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Shua? But our Mishnah also says clearly Rabbi Yosi. It says Amr Rabbi Yosi Enhi Hamida, and it was Rabbi Yosi that was responding. So they're essentially both Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara will ask that momentarily. However, first the Gemara brings the Tanya, like within a Braisa that shows this Lishitasam, this divergence of opinions regarding of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, if we would allow in Rabbi Shua's opinion to burn Truma Tluya with Truma Temeya. That the Braisa says, Yudal Chachalis B'Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, so generally we would do beer chametz on Erev Pesach, but now it's Shabbos, you can't do that. So Mevarnes HaKom L'Fnei HaShabbos, so then you eliminate all the chametz from before Shabbos, V'Sofrin, Trumais, and then you would burn all the Trumais, whether they be Tumeis, if they're Tamei or Tluyas, or even doubtful if they're Tamei, if it's Tahiris, or even if they're totally Tahar, you could burn them all together. Div Remeir, that's opinion of Remeir, and that's Remeir, according to his previous mentioned opinion in our Mishnah, Daf Yedalad, that he said, Midivreim Lamanda, from their words, we learned that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahir with Truma Tumeya on Erev Pesach, so that's why he says you could burn them all together. Rabbi Yosi says, Tahir b'fnei atzma, the tahar chametz of truma you have to burn by itself. The tluya b'fnei atzma, and this is where we find his opinion that he says, according to everybody, that even the tluya has to be burnt by itself. The tamei b'fnei atzma, and the tamei one by itself. So you see that he holds that you cannot burn the tluya with the tamei. Rabbi Shimon says, loynechleku Rabbi Eliezer. So first he says what they don't argue about, and then he says what they do argue about, where we're going to see that he says that his opinion in Rabbi Shua. Loynechleku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shua. They're definitely that, unlike Remeir, he says that they don't. No one would argue that you're not allowed to burn the Tahira with the Temeya together, because that's a problem about being Metame the Tahira. They also don't argue ala Tluya val Tahira Shesarfin, that you could burn together the Tahira with the Tluya. And the reason being is because since there's no Chazakah, there's no established knowledge of Tumah on this Tluya, so it doesn't seem like we're being Metame the Tahir B'Yadayim. So there's no problem about bringing the Tluya together with the Tahir. Ama Nechliku, regarding what did Rabbi Eliezer and Bishua argue about? Ala Tluya Val Tamei, regarding burning the doubtful Tamei with the one that's definite Tamei together. Rabbi Eliezer, Imir, Tisarv, Zuba Atma, Bazuba Atma, the Rabbi Eliezer held no, that in this case you would have to burn them separately. And that is, since there's no definite Tumah on the Tluya one, we're in doubt, so then you're going to be Metamed B'Yadayim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore you cannot burn it together with the Tamei. For Rabbi Shua Omer, again, this is Rabbi Shimon's version, Rabbi Shua, he says, Shtei en ka'achas. You could burn them both together. And that's because Rabbi Shua holds, since it's already tluy, it's already doubtful, so then you have no more any more mitzvah of the shmira of truma because it's not any more tahar. It's doubtful. And therefore, one could go ahead and burn it with together with the truma tumei. But this is what we were saying. This was the machlokes of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon that we find. Rabbi says that nobody, including Rabbi Shua, would allow to burn the truma tluy with the tumeya. And that was the statement mentioned in the Braisa. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says clearly in Rabbi Shua that they could be burned together, and that was the opinion Rabbi Shua mentioned in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks the blatant question. How could you say that it's not a contradiction? Because the version of Rabbi Shua that says you cannot burn the Tluya with the Tmeya was Rabbi Yosi in the Braisa, and our Mishnah that says you could is Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Shua, but our Mishnah clearly is Rabbi Yosi that says that statement, and therefore you're back to the question that Rabbi Yosi is the one, Rabbi Shua, so there's one opinion as a contradiction. Can you burn Truma Tluya with Truma Tmeya or not? Another thing where it says, no, that's not a difficulty. It really is Rabbi Shimon's version, as we just brought in the Braisa, that Machlaikas. But Hachikam Rabbi Yosi Lermeir, what Rabbi Yosi was responding to Lermeir in the Mishnah, he was saying that Afila Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon, who argues on me, Va'alibad Rabbi Shua, the Mekel, that in Rabbi Shua's opinion, we argue, but he's the more lenient opinion. But Ki Mekel, when is he Mekel? This that he's more lenient is Betluyu V'Tmeya. He says that in Rabbi Shua, yes, you could burn the Truma Tluyu with Tmeya. But Aval B'Tahayr V'Tmeya Loi. But regarding Truma Tahayr with Truma Tmeya, then nobody would say. There Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Leza, everyone would agree that you would have to burn them separately, and that was what Rabbi Yosi was asking Rabbi Meir. How can you say to burn the chametz, tahayra, on Erev Pesach with the chametz, truma, that's tmeya, that nobody would say. Because even Reb Shimon, who argues on me, that's what he was saying when he says that, to say, how can you burn the truma tluya and tmeya? Of course, Reb Yosi holds you cannot. But in our Mishnah that he said, that you would be able to burn them together, it was going in Reb Shimon's version, Reb Shua, to say that, look, even the lenient opinions do not say as lenient as you. So now the Gemara continues with another stira. Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, Rami, he posed a contradiction of truma apischa. And that is regarding truma in general that we find regarding the tluya status of those type of truma. Regarding the case of truma that we mentioned, that's tluya over here regarding the halachas on Erev Pesach. Umishani, and he answered the contradiction. And that is, the contradiction was as follows. Miyam Rabbi Yeshua Shtein Ka'achas. Is it true, as we had said just before, that Rabbi Yeshua says in our Mishnah, that we are allowed to go ahead and be mitami, the truma tluya, be a dying with one's hands, and that is, we said, you could burn them together. You could take the truma tluya, go ahead, pick it up, put it into the fire, the same time as the truma tumeya that's in there. So obviously he held that you can go actively with your own hands and go ahead and burn it with the truma tumeya, essentially being metama, the truma tluya. That's the case of the Pesach. Now the contradiction that you're asking from the truma, which is truma mentioned generally, verminu, but we have a contradiction because there's a Mishnah in Trumas that says, chavisol truma, regarding a barrel of truma, shenoy leba safek tuma. Then now there's an element of doubt regarding the status of tahara of that barrel. Rebbe Eliezer imir, so there's a machlokes. Rebbe Eliezer says, im hoyse menachas b'makam haturfa, if it was in the open area, yanachene b'makam mutzi, you have to put it into a private place, because he holds that truma tluya still has the sanctity that we have to protect it from becoming tummy. And therefore, although it was in the open place till now, and now there's this tluya status on it, you still have to go ahead and put it in a concealed area. Similarly, v'im hoyse meguli yachasene, if it was uncovered, then you have to go ahead and cover it. Rabbi Shua says exactly the opposite, because he holds once it becomes tluya, there's no mochiv of shmir to it, as we mentioned before, to protect it. He says, im hoysim menachas b'makam amutzin, even if up until now it was in the concealed area because of the chiv to protect it, now yenachem b'makam atur, you can put it in the open area in the makam hefka, because now there's no mochiv to protect it. V'im hoysim mechusas, similarly, if it was covered, yigalen, you could uncover. Now, the inference is that this that Rabbi Shua is being mekel is grama'in. He allows an indirect way for it to become tame, because he says, oh, you could put it in the area now where it'll be more susceptible to tumah, but be a daim lai. But you can't do it with your hands, and that's in spite of the fact that this truma is already tluy, it's already has doubtful. Now that's a contradiction. Here he says clearly you could only put it in the area where it would be susceptible, which you could create a situation of grama. But here we say in our Mishnah that no, you could even do more than grama. You could actually do be a daim. Go ahead and throw into the fire together. On that Umishani, he answered that ha, a similar answer like the Gemara said before, that this of our Mishnah that says you could even do it be a dayim actively is, as we said before, that's Reb Shimon alibad Reb Shua. That's Reb Shimon's version of Reb Shua, that yes, you can go ahead and be a dayim. Ha, but this that we're asking from the Mishnah Masechet is Trumas, that says that it's that with one's hands we're not allowed to do that. That's Rabbi Yisai Alibad Rabbi Yeshua. That was Rabbi Yisai's version of Rabbi Yeshua, where he holds regarding the doubtful status of the chametz on Erev Pesach of Truma, that as we quoted the statement before, where he says, Vanan, Heich Nisrav Hafila Tluyim Tameh, how could we burn even the Truma Tluyah with Tameh? So obviously he holds that you're not allowed to go ahead and burn the Truma Tluyah with the Tameh. That's why you can't do it be a dime. Yes, you could put it in the area, we don't have to protect it anymore according to Yeshua, but to actively go ahead and burn it, even Tluyah, one is not allowed to go ahead and be Metameh that be a dime. So that resolves that contradiction. Now the Gemara moves on to the third contradiction. Rabbi Lazar Rami, Truma at Truma Mishani. He posed a contradiction of Rabbi Shua's opinion in regards to where we find by regular Truma and by regular Truma, and he answered the as follows. And that is based on what we had just mentioned, the previous contradiction. Mia, Rabbi Shua, Grama in Biyadayim Loi. Is it really true that Rabbi Shua holds, as we mentioned from the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, that only indirectly can one create Tuma for Truma Tluya? And but however actively one cannot, but Raminu will ask from a contradiction from a different Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says Chavishal Truma regarding a barrel of Truma Shenishbur Begasal Yain that broke in the upper vat of the wine press, V'Tachteha Chulin Tumein, and the pit underneath where it goes from the upper vat has Chulin that are Tumein. So on that Moider Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, the proper gear is supposed to be and Rebbe Yeshua, that they both agree in that case. That if you could go ahead and quickly get vessels that are tahar, and ultimately you'll be able to save from that truma that's tahar on the top a revius amount, then you go ahead and do that in spite of the fact that the rest is going to be go down and mixed with the chulin that's on the bottom. But what you would have to do in that case is you would have to go ahead and save the truma tmeya by getting a kli tame. The question becomes, and this is where the machlekes begins, v'im lav. Let's say, either way, I'm not going to be able to go get a kli that's tahar and save the truma tmeya, even the truma tahira on the top, on the upper vat, even to get a revius out of it. So the question becomes, now it's going to be going down and mixing with the chulin tmeya on the bottom, which is going to make it usher for everybody. Because a zar, a non-kohen, can't have it because there's going to be truma mixed in with it. And a kohen can't have it because it's going to become tummy from the chulin on the bottom. So the question is, what do you do then? That Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Terid v'titma, still you have to allow it to go down and become tummy. V'al yitmen biyad, and yinala go ahead, because what would one would think to do, which is what he's saying, yinala go ahead and actively be metame, go get kalim that are tummy, because you don't have the availability of tahar vessels, so you're going to be drawing out quickly to get the truma that's tahar on the top out, because although you're being metame in the act of getting it out, but you don't want to allow it to go down, because once it goes down, that whole pit down there, it's full of chulin that's tamei, which is fit for non-kayin to use, or for a kayin when he's tamei to use. The second the truma mixes with it, it's going to make everything aser. So at least let me go ahead and get out the truma, although that's going to be making it invalid by getting it with kli tamei. I'm going to at least save the chulin tamei on the bottom. That what Rabbi Lezer says, no. There's an isra of being metamei truma tahira. And although you want to save all the chulin that's tamei on the bottom, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to actively go ahead and be tamei truma just to save the chulin that's on the bottom. Rabbi Shua says, no, yitmen biyad, you can go ahead and be tamei with yadayim because you want to save the chulin that's on the bottom. You can go ahead and be tamei biyadayim. Now, that's because anyways it's going to get ruined. Might as well go ahead and save what's on the bottom. But the question is, you see that you could do it biyadayim. So how does he say in the other Mishnah that it's only a grumma that's allowed? Mishani, and he answered that Shani Hasam the Ika Hefsechul. There it's different. Generally, Truma Teluya would only allow to be create a grumma of creating Tuma. Here where we allow you to actually go ahead and be Tami Yadayim was because there was a loss of all the chulna, as we mentioned before, on the bottom. That's why you could even do it Biyadayim, be Tami, the Truma Biyadayim. But generally, if there's no great loss, we would not allow that. Torah Shigemar asks, if that's the case, that you're saying that when that this is different, that you're right, generally you cannot be metam biyadayim. It's when, but when there's a loss, you can actively go ahead and be metam biyadayim to save the item that's being lost. So then Maskeva Rava asks, Masdi'in nami ike hefsedetzim, the case of our Mishnah, of Truma Teluya with Truma Temeya, is also a loss because of firewood, because you're going to have to go ahead and make two different fires. So Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, in his version of Yeshua, says you're allowed to burn them together. But Reb Yossi, as we mentioned, his version of Yeshua is that we're not allowed to burn them together. Why not? If he's saying Yeshua holds, as we find clearly in that Mishnah, that when there's going to be a loss in the wine that's in the pit, lower pit, that you can go ahead and be mitam b'yadayim. So then let's go ahead and be mitam the truma t'lui with the truma t'meya on chametz erev Pesach, so that you'll save yourself the firewood, because that's going to be a loss now, because you have to make two different fires. So I'm like, Abaye answered to Rava, lehefsid meruba chashashu. For a great loss they were concerned, which is the whole pit of wine that's in the bottom, in the wine press, that's a great loss when the truma that's going to fall into it. But for a small loss, which is just to get a little bit more firewood, that they weren't concerned about, and that for that we didn't allow one to be metame truma b'yadayim. Another Gemara asks, Umeno tamer de lehefsim ruba chashu, which this is a yesod that's mentioned many times throughout Shas. How do we know that for a great loss we're concerned, ulehefsim ruba chashu, but for a small loss we weren't concerned? So the Gemara said, fine, like going to Brisa, which shows this idea. Chavishal shemen truma, a barrel of truma oil, shenishber begasalion, which broke in the upper vat, ubetachtoina, and the lower pit, chulin tamein. This chulin tamein, which is essentially the same case we were mentioning till now, but now we're talking about oil, and before we're talking about wine. On this, Moedir Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Eliezer agrees to Rebbe Yeshua, and as Rashi tells us, this is going on the second. There's two statements that we're about to quote. It's going on the second statement of, if not, that then let it go down and become tamei. So first, this first statement is Shem Yochel, which everyone really agrees to. It's not Rebbe Eliezer agreeing to Rebbe Yeshua, which we mentioned regarding wine. Shem Yochel lahatzel mimen revius betahara, that if you could save a revius of it betahara, then yatzel, that's what you have to do. We have an obligation to protect the sanctity and the purity of the truma, and therefore that, although what's in the meantime is going to go down to be metam at the bottom, however, we have to go ahead and save what we could. So if we could save up the revius, that's our first obligation and not our concern for our monetary loss of the chula on the bottom. So that's Yatzel, that's you go ahead and save that first. But the imlav, and if not, this is where Rebbe Eliezer agrees to Rebbe Yeshua that Terit v'titma v'yitmen biyad. You have to let it go down, this oil, and you cannot actively go ahead and be mitamit with your daim to go ahead and quickly scoop out the oil, that it's truma, that it doesn't go down to the bottom, and making everything usr. The chulun, that oil that's on the bottom, and the truma, the oil that's tar on the top, which later on the Gemara will ask on the next daf, that it shouldn't say Rebbe Eliezer agrees to Rebbe Yeshua. To the contrary, it should say Rebbe Yeshua agrees to Rebbe Eliezer, because generally it's Rebbe Yeshua that says that you could be metamed be a dime, as we said before regarding wine, and Rebbe Eliezer always says you cannot. And what we should essentially say is that in this case, that although by wine Rebbe Yeshua says that you could be metamed be a dime, here by oil he says that you cannot be metamed be a dime. But either way, as the Gemara will explain over there, but we say clearly that regarding oil, that everybody agrees that you cannot be metame, the upper truma, be a dime, to scoop it out quickly before it shouldn't go down to the bottom, because although there's going to be a loss for the chulin, that now you have the oil of chulin that's mixed with the truma inside, which is going to be usher for now, kahanim and the zar, because for the kahanim, they cannot consume it because it's tame, and the zar cannot consume it because it's truma. And the reason being is the idea that we had mentioned before, because it's a small loss, as the Gemara will explain, because it's still fit to be used for something, as to be burnt, as for light, not to be consumed. And therefore, in this case, Rebbe Yeshua would agree that we do not allow to go ahead and be metam and be a dime. And that the svar why he allowed by wine was because it was hefsim ruba. By hefsim ruba, that's what he says, yeah, you could do be a dime. And that's the answer to the contradiction where he says only grum is allowed. Indirectly, that's when there's no loss, when there's no great loss. However, when there's a great loss, which is by wine, then we could be metam and be a dime. But by oil, where it's not such a great loss, then you cannot be metam and be a dime. You have to allow it to go down to the bottom, as the Gemara elaborates. Now, the Gemara asks, essentially, what's the difference by oil where Rebbe Yeshua agrees you cannot be metam yadayim? Diro lahadlik, because it's still fit to be used to light up things, to use as fire. Which therefore, since it's not such a great loss, you cannot be metam yadayim, which we said that's the logic behind the hefsin ruba that allows us to be metam the truma yadayim. But the question is, yayinami ro lezilov, that even wine that becomes tummy when it mixes in the bottom is also fit to be used to sprinkle on the ground, which would settle the dust and also give a good aroma. And therefore, there Rebbe Yeshua should also say that it should be usa to metam be a dime, because there is also not a hefsim ruba, because it's not a total loss. You could still use the wine for other purposes, for the purpose of zilov, just like we're allowing the oil for other purposes and not considering it a hefsim ruba for hadlaka. And if you're going to say, oh, that zilov lav milsi, you're talking about wine that you could be able to drink it, and then for sprinkling, that's not considered something significant. That's a total loss of money. That's just like, you know, trying to find the silver lining, but essentially it is a great loss, and that's why it could be mitam b'yadayim. But that's not really true. To the contrary, Shmuel said, Shaisin melug besela, that you should drink wine, of a lug of wine, that's sold for just one sela, umezalfin melug b'shtayim. However, the ziluf regarding sprinkling the ground with the oil, with the wine, that should be wine that's purchased a lug for a higher price of two sela. And that is, it's better for a person to buy a lug of two sloim, the higher, more expensive wine, for the purposes of ziluf than to buy it for drinking. And that is, if someone that's not wealthy, his drinking wine should be the cheaper wine, the one sela, and the one for ziluf should be the more expensive wine. So you see, definitely, using wine as ziluf, it's not a loss. To the contrary, we see that it's almost more important than drinking. So therefore, the question is, why regarding wine do we say it's a hefsin merubah, because it can't be used, but it is fit to be used for ziluf, and therefore it should be just like the case of the oil, that's still fit for adlaka, and it's not a hefsin merubah. I thought the Gemara says, we're talking about bechadish, we're talking about new wine, where it doesn't have a strong aroma, and therefore it's not fit for the purposes of ziluf. And again, therefore, it will be considered have some rubah, because there's really nothing we could do with this the wine. You can't even do ziluf with it. But then the Gemara says, wait, bavahara liashnai. What do you mean? It's not such a great loss. Just hold on to the wine till it ages. It ages, it's going to get a good aroma, and then you can use it for ziluf. So it's still not a hefsin merubah. Now the Gemara says, no, that's not an option, because asi beli deita kala, it's going to come to challenges that one's going to get stuck with a halachic problem. Because if you're going to hold on to it till it gets old, in the interim, which is we find throughout Shas that the Chacham made gezeiros against truma, that's tamei for the kahanim, because then in the interim you might come to drink from it, and that's a problem because you're not allowed to consume truma tamei. So you wouldn't be able to hold on to it, and therefore essentially we're stuck with the fact that it's chadash, and since chadash is not fit for ziluf, so therefore it's going to be have some ruba. But then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If that's the case, that we're concerned about takala, then you might consume it in the interim. So sheminami also b'day takala. You said that by oil it's not considered to have some ruba because you can use it for the purpose of adlaka, but that takes a long time till you light it and use it as fuel. But you, in the interim, when you're holding onto it, you also might come to takala, you might come to consume the oil. Now the Gemara says, no, we can get out of the problem of takala, that you're not going to consume it, because you'll put in disgusting vessel. So that's still fit for hadlaka, that's not a problem. But no one's going to come to consume anymore because it's disgusting from that vessel. But then the Gemara says, wait a second, if that's the case, you could take care of the problem with takala for wine also, put in a disgusting vessel, and then you'll use it for ziluf, and then there's no problem about holding on to it. So even mechadish shouldn't be have some ruba. And then the Gemara responds, what do you mean? Leziluf kabayle. You're holding on to it because you want to use it for ziluf, for sprinkling, to give this good aroma inside the room. And bekli mois ramali, you're going to put it in a disgusting vessel. It's going to make it disgusting. It's going to give this bad odor to it. And therefore, that's definitely not an option. So therefore, by chadish, we cannot hold on to it. And therefore, it's going to be considered to have some ruba, again, because there's no utility for it whatsoever, because it can't even be used for ziluf. And that, again, that resolves. And this is the source that we had that shows that there's a difference between yain and shemen. What's the difference? That's the fundamental principle he said to resolve that other contradiction, that hefse merubah Rabbi Yeshua allows one to mitam yadayim, but when it hefse muit, then only grama yes, but yadayim not. So now the Gemara says, related to this last idea that we mentioned of takala, that you can't hold on to the wine because of the possibilities of one might come to consume it, and that's a takala. But takala atzma, however, this idea about creating a takala, that if we're concerned about holding on to it or not, is tanoim, it's a machlik, it's tanoim essentially, this whole idea, if we're concerned about that. The time like Linda Bryson, chavish shal yayin shal truma shenitmas, regarding a barrel of wine of truma that became tamei, bishami oimim tishbech chaval, you have to spill it out, and chaval is like the word of chavila, of a bundle. In other words, you have to spill it out in one time, and not to use it for sprinkling. And the reason is because if you use it for sprinkling, which is a little bit at a time, even on one day, in the interim, you might come to consume it. So therefore, you have to spill it out at one shot right away. Basila, I mean, no, Tassas Ilif Basila says, you can use it for sprinkling, we're not concerned about that. So Amr Bishmo Bebyesi, Bishmo Bebyesi came along and he said, many years after Basila and Bishama he lived, he said at a later point in time, he said, Niachriya, I'm going to be the deciding factor between these two opposing opinions, and I'm going to be the factor that decides them to. And then I'll say that depending on what, which one the halacha is like, each one that it, in one area, I'm going to be joined with that opinion, and therefore that'll be two against the other one. And the other one, I'll be joined with that one, I'll be two against the other one, and therefore I'm always going to be deciding the halacha. And that is, besade tish bechaval. In the field, there the halacha is like b'shamay, that you spill it out at one time, because you don't do ziluf. You don't do sprinkling out in the fields. And we're not going to say that you can go ahead and bring it into the to back home to do the zilif, because then there is, in the interim, then there's a concern about takala, that when you're on your way back from the field to the home, that you might consume it. Whereas bebayis tasa zilif, in the one's home, then the halacha is like bissel, that then you can do the sprinkling because that's immediate, and therefore that we're not concerned. Ikadamah, that those are, say, a different version of this statement that he said, that truth is that for that small amount of waiting from the field to one's home, that there's no such concern. As we find the home, there's no concern about the sprinkling, which is a very short amount of time. Similarly, from the field to the home, that he also would say that you would not have to be tishbe chaval and you'll be able to do zilif. Rather, the difference that he said was b'chadosh, buy new wine, then tishbe chaval. Then you would go to have to spill it out at one time, because then you would have to hold on to it for a long time until it gets old. That would concern about the takala. B'yashin, by old wine, tasa zilov, then you can sprinkle it out like basil, because there we're not concerned about takala, because you're not going to have to hold on to it for such a long time. So Amulai, the people of his generation, told him when he was saying, I'm going to decide that depending for what, the halacha would be like b'sham basil, and we continue on top of chav alaf and alaf, in hachroa shlishas machrez, a third opinion does not decide between two other opinions. And essentially what they're saying is, you're not a deciding factor between these two opinions, you're a third opinion. And the other two are arguing on you, just like you're arguing on those two. And what basically is that Bisham Bisil did not mention anything to discriminate and differentiate if there's a concern about this idea about takala. And that is, as Rashi explains, had Beishamai mentioned these two factors of that, if Beishamai would have said, you know what, whether it be in the home or whether it be in the field, chaval teshafach, you have to spill it out at one time. And Basil would have said, no, whether it be in the house or in the field, you can do the zilov, you can sprinkle it. And then you would be coming as a deciding factor and to say, oh, wait a second, in the house, you do like Basil. In the field, you do like Beishamai. Then you would be a hachra, you would be the deciding factor in each one, and then you would be like one in contrast to the other. However, now, where Bisham Bisil didn't mention anything about a field or a home, obviously, as Rashi says, they're talking about a different reason. Their opinions weren't based on takala. They weren't concerned about takala. And you, Rabbi Shmuel, that you are concerned about takala, you're a third opinion. Nothing to do with them. They weren't that, in whether it be bias or sada, that there is a concern with takala or not, and now you're saying, oh, in one there is a concern for takala, and one not, and therefore you're the deciding factor. Rather, it's a machlik tanoim, and that you were not like Bisham Bisil. That's, as the Gemara said, that this concern about takala obviously seems to be a machlik tanoim, and that's why they told them that you're not the deciding factor, because they weren't basing their halacha on if it's a chashash for takala or not. That's a different reason. However, you're a third opinion. You're saying that there is a concern for the kala, and you're concerned for the kala in the sada and not in the bias, and that's why you're saying like that. But their opinion was not based on that, and therefore you're not going to be the hachra. You're not going to be the deciding factor in the machlekes.